I'll start the
Hi, Rabbi.
recording. Hey, Adam, are you there?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome. So nice to have you.
Hey, Adam. What's up?
Hi. Sorry.
No, it's no problem. Okay, anyway, so we were talking about right now. So the last thing we spoke about was we did Zion. Let's make sure it comes up on the screen. The last thing we did was Zion. Oops. Oh, no, I did not want to do that. Okay, so we were talking about Parak Zion, which was separating your dishes. We spoke about whether you need different salt shakers, right? One for me, one for right. It depends, and you know, it depends on how it's used, etc. To make sure that it's always clean. If we're going to use one for, you know, if we're going to use one for dairy and meat, make sure that it's
it doesn't touch,
and it's clean. If it touches something and it's not hot, then make sure that it's clean. Make sure if you're going to use one ketchup bottle that you have clean hands when you go from one to the other. And we spoke about the tray for the high chair, right? So we said that it doesn't really get hot. You don't really put hot food on it. But if for whatever reason,
baby chair. We talk about the baby chair.
Yeah, the baby chair, exactly. So if it's you don't really put hot food on it, but if it's really hot food and it's going to just make sure it's very clean. If you do put hot food on the tray, so therefore it now establishes either meat or milk. If you want to put the other type on, make sure it's very clean and make sure that you don't put any hot food from the other type, very hot food from the other type. Okay, let's go to the next section. Section Chet. Okay. So let's see. So Chet, Ma'achale Parva. Ma'achale parva, okay? So it says here, ma'achal parva, okay, if I have something parv, hu ma'achal she'eno chalavi ve'eno bisari. It's not meat and it's not dairy. It's not meat, it's not dairy. So he says, l'chatchila yesh lishmor al ha'afrada ben ha'minim v'kasher mitkavim l'chom ma'achle parva im basar l'vashlam besir bisari v'kasher mitkavim l'chlam im chalav l'vashlam besir chalavi. Okay. So he says, lechatchila, just to avoid confusion, he says, if you have par foods and you want to eat it with meat, so then you try to use a meat pot. If you want to eat it with dairy, you try to use a dairy pot. V'zot kedei limnoa bilbul, to avoid confusion. Shemitraglu lechol ma'achalei parva shebushlu b'sir b'sarim chalav. Yitachen sheleitim yitu v'yachshivu ma'achal b'sari shu parva v'yavo lechol im chalav olehepech. Okay?
So you mean if you warm up a parv on the meat still, then it's considered meat, right?
No, he's not talking about what it's considered. We're going to get to that later on. But he's just saying, just to avoid confusion, it's better to, if you know you're going to eat the parv, you're having rice, you know you're going to eat it with meat, use a meat pot to warm it up. If you know you're going to eat it with dairy, use a dairy pot to warm it up. Because if you use a meat pot to warm it up, even if halakhically it's okay, you may get confused and start thinking that, oh, maybe this meat food is really parv, and you're going to end up using the bisari food with the dairy food, which is definitely not a good thing. Furthermore, you should be concerned. Shema li'itim lo yinaku et hakelim hetev. Maybe sometimes they're not going to clean the kelim well.
So
he says sometimes you have to be worried that the kelim, the pots, pans, whatever you're using, weren't cleaned well, and therefore there's a chance that you may come to eat parv. We will get taste, flavor from the pot that you warmed it up in. You may come to eat it with the other min. So therefore, for those two reasons,
Are you talking about clean pot? Are you talking about clean pot? It's not
clean. Yeah, I am talking about, yes, it is a clean pot. However, we're concerned that he may come to accidentally use the pot when it wasn't cleaned, and therefore it may actually absorb flavor from the other.
Not by not, no?
So, okay, well, if it's clean, then it would be not by not. Right, so that's halakhically okay. I think he's concerned. He's concerned that even it's going to be worse than not bar not. He's concerned that it's going to be tam, if it's not clean, then it may be real tam, and therefore it's not going to be not by not, and you're going to have a problem. We'll get to not by not hopefully soon, or maybe in a later chapter. He's just raising practical concerns, not strictly halachic concerns, but practical concerns. People may get confused, or you may end up with a mixture because your pot's not completely clean, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So he says that you're allowed to cook a par food in a pot that's metal or glass that is clean in order to eat it with the other type. Now, I'm not sure if he's really going to get into not bar not here, or he's only going to get into not bar not later. Because he literally gets into not bar not later on, but he's already making a lot of assumptions in this section. So let's finish the section and then we'll look at his footnote, because he's already making a lot of assumptions. Because most Ashkenazim would never do this, and some Sfaradim would never do this either. Almost all Ashkenazim would not cook par food in a meat pot to use it for dairy. Now, if the pot has not been used in the last 24 hours, it's a different story. But let's assume right now we're talking about a meat pot that has been used in the last 24 hours. So most Ashkenazim would not cook it in a meat pot.
In other words, Persian moms.
Eat it with dairy. Well, listen, according to, meaning, it sounds, most Achronim understand, even in Shulchan Aruch, that you would not cook it lechatchila to mix it with the other meat. He'll talk about this later, but the Bedek Habayit, meaning the later additions to the Beit Yosef, he quotes an opinion that says that you can do it lechatchila, and Rav Avadia holds like that. But
by mixing, do you mean eating it in another dish, or do you mean heating it up again in the other means pot?
So, meaning, let's say I take raw pasta, right, and I put it in a meat pot. Let's say a meat pot that has been used in the last 24 hours. Because I want to take that pasta out of that pot, and I want to put cheese on it.
Okay.
That's what he's discussing over here. So,
let's say you were to cook pasta in a meat pot, and then put it in a dairy pot afterwards, and...
Okay, yeah, so that's a good question. That's a different story. That's probably okay, but we'll get to that. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. That's probably okay. Yes, probably, even if it's Ben Yomo, yeah. But we'll get to that in a later discussion. But yes, even if it's Ben Yomo, I probably would be able to go from a meat cleat to a dairy cleat, even if it's Ben Yomo. But over here, we're talking about... if it's, the food is parv. But over here we're talking about taking the food that's parv, but not putting it in the kli of the other type, but actually eating it with the other type. So I'm cooking my pasta in a dairy pot because I want to eat it with my meat sauce, or vice versa. I'm cooking my pasta in a meat pot because I want to eat it with my cheese.
And does it matter? Are we making any assumptions of what type of kli we're eating it on? Are we assuming that if it's kli sheni, it doesn't
Let's assume I'm eating it. If I want to eat it with cheese, I'm putting it into a dairy pot. If I want to eat it with meat, let's assume I'm putting it into a meat pot. Meaning, let's say I'm putting it into a meat plate, let's say afterwards. Let's assume that the plate is going to be the min of the actual, the actual meat or milk that I'm going to be eating it with afterwards. Okay? Fine. So let's just catch up, a review of what we said so far, okay? So I am cooking my pasta in my meat pot because I want to eat it with dairy. So Rav Melamed says don't do it for two reasons. Number one, because you may get confused at some point and start cooking real meat. Well, no, not because of the flavor. No. The first reason is because I may get confused and start cooking real meat and eat it with my cheese, which would be a major, major problem. I don't want to do that. And number two is because... don't do it because I may get confused and I may cook in a dirty pot and it would have tam, and therefore I couldn't mix it with the other min. However, he says, in a situation of need, so you could cook it in a pot that is metal or glass. We'll see in a minute, or maybe we'll see it another time, why he specifically specifies metal or glass. But he has a very unique opinion about that. He actually made it to the newspapers when he originally published it. That's how unique his opinion is about that. But we'll get to that another time. But anyway, I'm sorry?
That's why we love him.
Yeah, no, I mean, getting to the newspapers is already another madriga of loving Rav Malamed. It's a different situation. But anyways, so he says, so what you can do, if you need to, you can use a clean pot and cook it in order to eat it with the other species, which we'll explain in the, you know, meat, in a meat pot to eat it with dairy or vice versa. He'll explain that in the footnote. This is a lot more complicated than the way he presents it over here. But I think in the footnote, he'll sort of elaborate, because according to the Ashkenazi custom, you normally would not do that lechatchila unless you had no other pot, which may be what he's talking about over here. And according to the Sephardic custom, some people would not do it lechatchila, would not cook it lechatchila to cook meat with the other min, but once it was cooked, they would mix it, and some people would cook it lechatchila. So we'll have to get to all that later on. Anyways, kemochen mutar b'shat ha-tzorech lachatoch ma'achalim charifim kedugmat batzel vashum. And also in a situation of need, you can cut what we will call sharp foods like onions and garlic, which will have their own category when it comes to kashrut. We'll get to that later on. Bisakin matechet bisarit shenuketa hetev. If it's cleaned well, I'm allowed to use a meat knife that's cleaned well in order to cut onions. Avur tapshi o chalavi o lehepech. So this is, again, this is another big chidush.
Yeah,
which,
I thought that's like a big no.
So it's not, I mean, in Rav Malamed's world, for a couple of reasons, it's not a big no, but we'll see more about that in the footnote. But he says, basically, I'm allowed to use my meat knife to cut my onions for my cheese omelet, essentially. But if it's necessary, That's what he says.
This is like half my morning routine.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway,
any vegetable or specifically onions?
No, well, if it's other vegetables, then it's not really a problem, because if I'm cooking mushrooms, so mushrooms.
Food.
I'm sorry.
About if it's like kharif.
Right. No, he's talking about kharif foods. He's talking about onions, and he's qualifying
radish,
these.
For example.
So yeah, so yeah, so radish is the example. The Gemara gives examples. Radish is an example of radish, which is definitely a sharp food. That because it's mentioned in the Gemara may actually be a little bit more strict actually, but let's stick with onions and garlic as my sharp foods, and then we'll use, let's say, mushrooms and other vegetables as my not sharp foods. So cutting mushrooms or other not sharp foods, as long as my knife is really clean, that's not such a, and my, if my knife is really clean, that's not such an issue. But cutting sharp foods, so that is an issue. So even not sharp foods, some people say are machmir, but I'm sure he'll get to that later on.
He's also not saying you should do it. He's saying in a shot a tzorech.
A shot tzorech, right, in a situation of need. Correct. The question is, how big of a tzorech is he defining for this situation? There are those that say if you have no other pot, so that's considered to be b'di'eved, and therefore you can do it. Maybe that is what he's referring to, but it sounds like he's being a little bit broader than that, but we'll have to see how he explains it in the footnote. Anyways, so he says, v'omnam yesh machmirim ve'osrim le'acholim chalav v'achal parva shibusha b'kli b'sari o lehebech, ulam kevan shibarur me'ever l'chosafek, sh'alachar sheminakim kli zuchuchin matachin im sabon, hem einam potim tamim. Right, that's what he got into the newspaper for. So he has a very unique opinion, which people maybe agree with him on from a metallurgical perspective. Metallurgy is the study of metals. So from a metallurgical perspective, people may agree with him, but from an application perspective, this is what got him in the newspaper. He thinks that metal kelim don't actually absorb and don't, or at least don't give off any taste. If you could cook meat in a pot and clean it really, really well, and then technically, theoretically, I'm not saying you could do this, I'm not even saying that he says you could do this, but if you were to cook cheese in the pot, the flavor of the meat wouldn't go into the cheese. I don't think he would go that far.
Meaning he's putting metal in the same category as
glass for Sephardim, right, exactly. Because he says the... I'm sorry?
That's insane.
It is insane. Yeah, I'm saying that's why you got in the newspapers. Okay, I didn't stop. I'm saying he got into the newspapers. He literally got in the newspapers. I remember reading the news articles when he said this originally. I heard this before he said it. I mean, this is when I was learning in Smicha, we're learning in YU. This is something that was going around that if you ask the metal scientists, they'll tell you that our pots are much less porous than the pots that they were using, the metals that they were using, you know, 2,000 years ago. Their metals were much more porous, and a lot more went in and a lot more went out of their pots than the pots that we have today, and that really nothing goes out. I remember, I don't know if he ended up doing this, but Avraham Ben Chaim wanted to use some sort of scientific scale and like cook some meat in a pot and see, like clean it out and see, like using a scientific scale, if the weight of the pot actually changed because of absorbed particles.
What happened?
I don't know if this actually ended up happening, but I remember Avraham Ben Chaim, maybe Rav Moshe Aziz also, they were doing this together. They wanted to cook something in a pot and then use a very precise scale to see if the weight of the pot actually changed from absorbing any flavor from the cooking of the pot, in order to test this scientific theory that there's no real absorption in pots bizman hazeh. So Rav Melamed thinks that since there's no real, pots don't really give off any flavor, so therefore all these questions that are questionable, machloket haposkim, whether or not, let's say you can cook lechatchila, der a parv in a pot, etc. So he thinks you can be lenient on all these questions because he's of the opinion that that pots don't really give off flavor. If you ask my opinion, don't try this at home. This is not...
It's probably different for like Teflon and stuff like that.
Maybe. I mean, I know it's different with Teflon for koshering things and things like that. I don't know if Rav Melamed makes a distinction, but you'll have to see later on when we get to Lamed Bet, Vav and Chetz, to figure out if it's really different. But anyways, in the meanwhile, so Rav Melamed is of the opinion that these pots don't really give off flavor, and therefore, whenever you have a question in the post game, for example, can I lechatchila use my meat pot to cook parv to eat with dairy? So he thinks you can follow the more lenient opinion. He thinks you shouldn't do lechatchila, but not because of Not bar not refers to the secondary taste called notin tam bar notin tam. That's the key word that's going to come up later on. Not bar not notin tam bar notin tam, which means that when I cook parv in a pot, so this is the way it goes. When I cook meat in the pot, so the tam of the meat goes into the pot, that's called tam rishon. And then from the pot back out into the food, that's called tam sheni, which we call not bar not notin tam bar notin tam. So it doesn't sound like his basis for leniency is because he's basically for being machmir at the beginning. It's not because he's machmir or not barnat, but it's because he's concerned for practical considerations that people may get confused. But as far as not barnat goes, he thinks you can follow the more lenient opinions, even lechatchila, but you should only do b'shat ha-tzorach, not because of not barnat halachot, but because of confusion halachot. Okay, we'll see more when we get to the footnote. Okay, aval. Im bishlu eta machal parva bekedera shel matechet ozichuchi b'sarido chalavish shelo nikuhei tevim sabon. However, it wasn't cleaned very well, right? Let's say I cooked a soup in there and I dumped out the soup, right? And then I just poured my rice right into that pot, even though I dumped out the soup, but there's still a lot of residue there. So dechlikua poskim mutar lechol tavshila parva imamina sheni. Maybe is different. So therefore, that's more of a question if the pot isn't completely clean or if used kli charis. Okay. So before we get to the end of the paragraph, let's see what he says in footnote number 8. Okay. So he says, din ze mivuar lehalan. Lamed Bet Yud Aleph 14. That's later on, right? That's where he gets into all the details about not barnat. Uvekitzur shalosh deot din bazeh. There are three opinions. Minhag chelik miyotzei sifar. Ad alpi Rav Yosef Karo bebedek habayit. Right, I mentioned to you before in the bedek habayit. Mutar lechatchila levashel bekli b'sari ben yomo tavshil parva kedei lecholim chalav olahepech. Okay, you're allowed to even lechatchila cook in a ben yomo kli bisari to eat it with dairy, all that bech. That's what Rav Yosef Karo writes in Bedek Habayit. That's how Rav Avadi Yosef follows. Minhag rov yotzei sefarad, most yotzei sefarad, what do they hold? Apeh mevuar b'shulchan aruch, as it's written in Shulchan Aruch, lechatchila asur levashel b'kli b'sari ben yomo, b'tavshil parva, kedei leochlo im chalav o lehabech, lechatchila, you can't cook it to eat it with the other min. V'makli eino ben yomo mutar. But if it has not been used in the last 24 hours, then it's okay. You're allowed to use it to cook it, eat it with the other min. And then...
The Medek Abai was even more mekel.
I'm sorry?
Medek Abai was even more mekel than that.
Correct. Medek Abai holds even lechatchila, I can cook in a ben yomo meat pot to eat it with dairy. I want to put cheese on it later. I can't put cheese in the pot, but I want to put cheese on it later on. I could lechatchila cook it in a ben yomo pot in order to eat it with cheese later on. And then the
you're minago- using the meat, you okay, let me get this straight. You're saying that you cook the, let's say, veggie burger, okay?
Okay, good.
And you cook it in the...
In a meat pot that's pot, clean, right? A clean meat pot. And then yes. I take it out of the pot and I put and a slice of cheese on it. Mutar, right. According to Medek Abai, mutar. I can even cook it with intention of doing that. According to the rest of the Yosei Svarad, I can't cook it with intention of doing that unless the kli is eino ben yomo. But if I already did it, so then I could put the slice of cheese on it.
If that's
as long as the pot was clean.
If that's what Maran Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, then clearly isn't that his
so
that,
well because Bedek Habayit was written later on. Bedek Habayit was written after Shulchan Aruch. I believe so. So I believe that's the argument that he was Choserbo in what he wrote in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore we follow what he wrote in Bedek Habayit. I think that's the there's a lot of ways to view this issue and you know, like another famous kula, I believe, the kula that as long as it's rov yavesh, you're allowed to reheat it on Shabbat in a permitted way. You know, as long as you use, let's say, kadera, agave kadera, whatever. As long as it's majority dry, it's called dry. So you can have a lot of liquid. As long as majority dry, it's called dry. That's also in Bedek Habayit. And that's why also, many people don't necessarily follow that psak, but Rav Adi does, because he holds that you can follow Bedek Habayit even against Shulchan Aruch. Okay. And
is there any concern about, let's say, like, the pasta that you cooked in a meat pot that you want to eat with cheese, is there any concern of like the hot pasta being poured onto that dairy plate or being used with a dairy fork?
No, so again, yeah, the plate and the fork I believe is okay because that's the case in the Gemara is that I cook something with one min, I'm allowed to put it on the plate of the other min. I believe the Gemara says that explicitly. So I think
if you pour it out of your meat pot directly onto your cliche and your dairy.
Right. I think that's fine. I believe that's okay. I mean, so again, certainly according to the first opinion for sure, because I could even put it with the cheese, right? I put it right into the cheese. According to the second opinion, I believe that's okay also. I believe that's okay. Okay. Now,
are you sure? Or are you saying maybe?
I'm. I have to double check. Okay. I'm pretty sure, but we're gonna get to it.
We don't want to do that. I don't want to go tell your name or something there. Right?
Don't use my name. Don't use my name. Don't use my name. I don't recommend using my name. In general, it's not a good idea to use my name. But in this case, certainly don't use my name. Okay. But yeah, I'm 95% sure that you'd be allowed to. You'd be allowed to just pour it straight into the pot of the other min. Okay, and now the third opinion, Gimel, the Minhag Yosei Ashkenaz, Gam Bekli She'eno Ben Yomo, Bisari, Ein Mechinim Ma'achal Parva, Kedei Lo'ochlo Im Chalav Olehepech. Even Kli Eino Ben Yomo, you shouldn't do it. B'diavar, in Kvar B'shlu, Mutar B'shat HaTzorech, Lo'ochlo Im Amin HaSheni, if you already did it, you can mix it. So again, for Ashkenazim, the way he says is there's three opinions. There's three steps. If it's eino ben yomo, so then I shouldn't even cook it with intention to eat it with the other min. If I already did it, so then I shouldn't, if it's ben yomo, I shouldn't mix it. But if it's eino ben yomo, then I could mix it afterwards. And if it's ben yomo, then b'dyevet, if it got mixed in, then it's okay. So again, so if it's eino ben yomo, don't cook it lechachila to eat with the other min. If I already cooked it, I'm allowed to, if it's tzorech, I'm allowed to eat it with the other min. And if it's ben yomo, so then even makom tzorech, I shouldn't eat it with the other min. But b'dyevet, if it already got mixed in, then it's okay. So he says, he says, this applies to kli cheres, earthenware, kli etz, wood, and metal that was not completely, that was not cleaned well. Aval bakli matechet uzchuchit shenuku kiraui im sabon hoil v'yodea shelo notar bahem shum tam ha'machal kodem b'nei kol ha'idot v'shaim linho kedea mikila kimavur lahalan omnam lechachilik deshmol ha'fradda b'mosar b'chav nolakim kivar mala. Okay, so again, this is his opinions I mentioned before, that milk and that meat and glass, I'm sorry, metal and glass, we could treat metal like glass, and you can follow even the most lenient opinion, even lechachila, for everybody. Okay. Again, I don't think this is an accepted psak, at least not yet. V'chen legabei sakin b'sari shechatchu bo ma'achal charif, o sir b'sari shebishlu bo ma'achal charif. So, same thing if you have a meat knife that was used to cut spicy food, or a meat pot that was used to cook spicy food. Nechaku ha'rishonim ma'achal ha'charif b'pnei charifuto sofeg et hatam b'sabasar, tzemach loket, v'chayom b'kli matechet uzchuchit shenuku kira'oi im sabon, yesh lor kedat ha'mikilim. So he thinks, again, you can follow the more lenient opinion. Again, I don't think this is muskam, that you can follow the more lenient opinion. Sorry, somebody had a question? R.E.? I'm sorry, I don't know who it is. You can unmute yourself, or I'll unmute you. R.E., you have a question? I don't know who that is. Okay. Back to this. Okay. Ari, if you have a question, feel free to unmute yourself. Okay, fine. So, okay, so let's just to summarize. We've said a lot of things in this section. Let's just summarize. So Rav Melamed advises, lechatchila, you should keep your meat and parf separate, your dairy and parf separate. Don't cook, if you want to eat with meat, cook it in a meat pot. You want to cook it in dairy, cook it in a dairy pot. There's also a possibility of using a parf pot. Right, if you want to have the option later on to do whatever you want with it and not to get into issues or not by not, you could have a keep set aside a pot as parf. That I don't use it for meat or for dairy. I only use it for not meat or not dairy. If you follow the more lenient opinions but not by not, you don't really need one. But again, if you follow the stricter opinions, you could have a parf pot. Now, in a situation of need, so there are three opinions regarding not by not. One opinion is if you follow the bedek habayit, I can cook lechachila to mix with the other type. The second opinion says I can only do that for an Eino Ben Yoma pot, not for a Ben Yoma pot. And the third opinion, which is the Yotzei Ashkenaz, that says that you know, even an Eino Ben Yoma pot, I shouldn't cook it lechatchila to mix with the other min. But b'diavad, if it got mixed in, if I cooked it already and I need to, I can mix it with the other min. But if it's an Eino Ben Yoma pot, if it's a Ben Yoma pot, so the even b'diavad, if I cooked it, I can't mix it with the other min unless it got mixed in. So then it got mixed in, and then it got mixed in, and then I can eat it with the other meat. Okay, and Rav Melamed himself thinks that you can be makil when it comes to matechet and glass, but we said that's not necessarily muskam. And then the same thing when it comes to klicheres and klietz, because that's where Rav Melamed says you should be machmer. And he thinks that knives are the same thing, but as again we'll see, especially Ben Yomo knives, we get that another time later, where it's definitely not so clear. Okay? So, yeah. And then somebody raised the question, Jeremy raised the question, about pouring directly into a kli of the other type. So I'm 95% sure that's okay, but I'll have to confirm the other 5%.
Also, just sorry, to clarify his last statement, sure, about Dabar Harif, when he says that you can use it. Is that also talking about, let's say, cutting an onion with a meat knife and then eating it with dairy? Or is that talking about cutting it with a meat knife and putting it in a dairy pot to cook with dairy?
No, so I think he's referring to eating with dairy proper. I mean, he's leaning to eating with dairy proper. But when it comes to Dabar Harif, there's not such a, meaning, if you're machmir by Dabar Harif, so then you would be machmir even with a pot of a Dabar Harif. Meaning, when it comes to Dabar Harif, we usually don't distinguish so much between the, if you hold that it's that this item is a Dabar Harif and you have to be machmir, then it doesn't make a difference whether you're putting it in the pot or you're cooking it with the actual min. It's the same, it has the same halacha, because if you're machmir and hold that it absorbs flavor, let's say by the knife, right? So then it would be treated in mamash like basar, and therefore you would have to, at least the outer level would be treated mamash like basar, and you have to treat it like you would treat meat.
And if, let's say, you were to take his kula, right? And
you... So you would take his kula, so you could eat with dairy proper. Forget about putting it in a dairy pot, you could eat with dairy proper.
But isn't there a difference, like, let's say you cut an onion with a meat knife, there's a difference between using that and you know, putting cheese on it versus cooking it, heating it up in a dairy.
Not according to Rav Melamed. I mean, because if you think that you could be makil on davar charif, so then basically just becomes a regular case of naparnat. And once it's a regular, I mean, the knife becomes nothing. And if you cook it, then it becomes a naparnat. So then you follow the rules of naparnat. And he holds that l'chachila, you can mix a naparnat with the other min. You know what I'm saying?
So you can even heat it up in a dairy pot and cook it with dairy.
You could do it. I mean, according to Rav Melamed, assuming that you don't treat it like a davar charif, right? And you follow the more lenient opinions by davar charif, so then you could do, I think you could do whatever you want with it. But again, I don't think this is another psak. Again, I don't think it's so nikubal because this psak is presupposing that metal is not polite at all. So the metal doesn't.
His own chidush, like doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we have to wait till we get to Lamed Bet.
Yeah, is he saying that? Is it Damar Harif or is it something else?
No, okay. So there's a machloket Rishonim, as I think Anna mentioned before, as to whether the rule of Davar Harif only applies to the specific Dvarim Harifim that are mentioned in the Gemara. Or does it apply to all types of davar charif, even to onions? And then on top of that, there's another machloket as to whether or not does it apply if the kli is eno ben yomo, or does it only apply to ben yomo? And there's other machloketim as, you know, machlokot as well that all, you know, we have to get to all of them, and it's navigating those situations is a little bit complicated. So putting that issue aside, it sounds like he's following the most lenient opinion, and it sounds like he's saying that the din of davar charif only apply if you're using a metal kli to cut it or to cook it. The din of davar charif only applies to very, very limited foods, and therefore you could be completely makil on davar charif for onions and garlic and the sort. That's what it sounds like what he's saying. We have to see when we get to Perek Lamed Bet, he'll elaborate on this idea more, but in section Lamed Bet, whatever section, you know, Halacha Yud Bet, where he'll elaborate on this idea much more, but for now, it sounds like he's being completely makil on davar charif. But again, I don't think this is a psak mikubal right now. We can discuss Eino ben yomo. That's a big, you know, Sfaradim are a little bit more lenient than Ashkenazim, even though many Sfaradim also say you should be machmer lechatchila for davar charif by Eino ben yomo. But to be makel on a ben yomo davar charif with a knife or a pot because it's made out of metal, that I do not believe is a psak mekubal yet. We have to see later on if he quotes sources for his assertion. I don't know if he has earlier sources for his assertion, or it's just his own chidush.
He's going to get more into davar charif later on.
Yeah, he's going to get more into davar charif later on. He's going to get more into his chidush about pots and pans later on. But they're both. It's going to be a little while because it's in Perek Lamed Bet, and we're only Perek Chaf Hey right now. If you guys want to skip to Lamed Bet after Chaf Hey, I'm more than okay with that. But for now, it's we're here. Okay, let's see section Tetz. Eruv Kalim, mixing together different Kalim. Okay, so now let's see. Gam kasher rotim lachin ma'achal parvakar. Even when I want to prepare a cold par food, nachon lachin oto b'ma'arach kelim imin achad, chalavi o b'sari, kidei shmor al hafrada bein kli basar lechalav. It's best to use either only meat Kalim or only dairy Kalim. Ledugma, kasher machim et ma'achal ha-parva b'ka'aret b'sarit, nachon la'arev oto b'kaf b'sarit. Right, if you're going to prepare it, you're making, let's say I'm making a cake, right? But I'm using a dairy mixing bowl to make my cake. Or I'm mixing eggs, because I know I'm going to, right? So even though technically I could use a meat spoon to stir my eggs, right? My cold eggs in my meat, I could use a meat spoon to stir my eggs in a dairy bowl. In theory, I could, but it's not recommended. It's advisable to use the same type. Right? Let's say it's Friday afternoon, very close to Shabbat, right? And I'm making a cake and I'm using a meat mixing bowl to make my cake. And the only spoon I have available is a clean dairy spoon. So technically I'm allowed to use my clean dairy spoon to mix my cake. Again, assuming that it's cold. Everything is cold. Okay?
Wait, hold on. Did we finish the...
Oh, good question. Did we?
Because I think once we did the footnote, there was a little bit.
Yeah, this is not the first time this has happened, that we got lost in the footnote. Okay, let's go back and see. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, let's finish this up. Thank you, Emil. You're very good at that. Okay. Keresh chituch me'etz o miplastig sofeg ta'amim. So if I have a cutting board that's made of wood or plastic, so it does absorb taste. L'fichach yesh li yached keresh miyuchal l'ma'achim b'sariyim v'keresh miyuchal l'ma'achalim chalavim. I should make sure I use a separate cutting board. U'mishu rotze l'achtov ma'achalim u'shnei aminim tzarech li yached gam keresh l'ma'achal parva. And if you want to also cut for foods that can be used for meat or for dairy, actually use parv. B'diavad im chatchu yirakot al keresh chituch b'sari sheniku oto hetev v'yirvu oto ad b'tavshil chalavi atavshil kasher. B'diavad, it's okay if you use the wrong type for parv things. Aval im hayirakot hayu charifim kedugmat batzel lo haya b'tavshil pishishim keneged habatzel, and the food, I didn't have 60 times the onion, okay, we're going to get this more in a little bit later on, but what we said before, the cutting boards, you should be careful to have a meat cutting board, a dairy cutting board, and a parv dairy cutting board, because cutting boards are very easy because of the force of the knife. It's very easy for flavors to get absorbed. I think also just because, like, the liquids just get, by the nature of the cutting board, they're not smooth surfaces, so they tend to, things tend to seep into the material much more easily, I think. Okay, and then, but b'diavad, if you're cutting parv, it's okay, unless it's davar charif, then you run into problems.
Then he was at the end, he says, u'b'shatatchak yesh lehakel.
Yeah, yin shatatchak, if it's...
It says even davar charif.
Even davar charif, yes. Okay, yeah, b'shatatchak. But again, you have to try to be careful with the cutting boards. Okay. Anyway, so now, she says you shouldn't mix. Okay, let's finish this, and then we'll look at the footnote. Okay? Ba'mitbachim sheyesh bahem ovdim rabim. If you have a lot of workers in the kitchen, kigom mitbachem shel mosdot chinuch, if institutions, schools, etc. Hanisayon hera shebelo kviyot nehalim machmirim chashash habibul ben basar lechalav gover. So unless you have create higher standards, right, higher supervision, so then very likely you're going to get mix-ups. Kavachomer kasher chelik mavdim einam mitaktikim b'mitzvot kigom mitbachei hatzava u'mitbachei ulamot batei malon u'misadot. Especially if people aren't necessarily careful in mitzvot. So therefore, it even raises even higher the percent, right? Usually in the yeshiva kitchen, most people are religious. Not necessarily, but usually. But if you're in the army, if you're in a wedding hall, etc., hotel, so therefore you have many people who are not Shomrei Torah, so maybe not even Jewish. Therefore, you have to be very careful. V'lachen mekubal likbo al ha-mitbachim tziburim na'ale hafrada machmirim v'harbem ha-mekubal mitbachim betiim. Therefore, it's accepted practice to use higher standards. V'alken emunim harabanim האחראים על מתן תעודת כשרות כשלפי ניסיונם והכרת עובדי המטבח קובעים את נעלי ההפרדה הנצרכים לשמירת הכשרות. Okay, he's not telling you what the rules have to be, but he's saying that the mashkiach, whoever is being sent from the kashrut agency, has to be careful to set higher standards to make sure, and based on who's working there and what the circumstances are, what the surroundings are, to set appropriate standards. Okay. B'sha'at ha'dachak, footnote 9, mutar lishamesh b'kli shiregelim lishamesh bo lema'achalim chalaviyim tzoniim l'shem achlen ma'achalim b'sarim tzoniim o lehepech. U'v'tzna'a sha'kli shatuf etef. Okay, so let's say, for example, right, I want to eat my cereal milk, my cold cereal and milk, and I only have a meat spoon available. So b'sha'at ha'dachak, if it's the only one I have available, it's mutar. B'av shemikar adin kelim shemishamshim b'ayim b'tzonen ha'kashut b'hadacha. Technically, cold kelim, the kashrut is if you just rinse them out. Kelor b'nikui a'idei shtifa, if you just rinse it. B'imken kelim shemiyuadim lema'achalim karim mutar lishnemesh b'am gam lema'achalim b'sarim gam lema'achalim chalaviyim b'tnai shishtifu otao mehetev. So therefore, if I have certain kelim that are used for cold, only for cold, I should be allowed to use it for both as long as I wash it out properly between. Ula minag Yisrael levatzer et ha'afrada bin basar lechalav. Minag Yisrael is to separate between the meat and the milk and not to use the same kelim for meat and the milk. And And furthermore, by separating them, you have many chashashot. Hayikari shema lo yinak yinku et hakelim hetev min haminim. Maybe they weren't clean enough. Od yesh or lo yinaku or yinaku. I don't know. Et hakelim hetev min haminim. Maybe it wasn't clean enough. Od yesh lachasho shema yavo lehishtamshut bahem bacham. Maybe you're going to come use it for hot. Or shema yishu bahem ma'achalim lemeshech yimama vazai lechelek haposkim hakli bolei midin kavish kemevushal. Also, if I leave, let's say I leave milk in a cup sitting for 24 hours, so that may actually cause absorption because of kavish kemevushal. The things that are stored literally means like pickled, so it's like cooking, and therefore the flavor can transfer. So therefore, there's another reason why I shouldn't use my meat spoon to eat my cereal and milk lechatchila. ואפשר שגם חכמים שאמרו שבהדחה מכשירים כלי לשימוש לבשר לשימוש חלב, it's possible that when the חכמים said that I could just rinse it off to use it for one from meat to milk or vice versa, לא התכוונו שישתמשו באותו הכלי באופן תדיר לשני המינים. They didn't mean that I always use the same כלי for going back and forth. אלא שבמקרץ צריכים לשמש בהם למין השני או לקראת פסח הכשרתם בהדחה. If as a one-time thing, maybe I want to switch it over for good, or I want to use it as a one-time thing. He's describing more of as a one-time thing, not switching it over for good. Switching it over for good is other issues. But let's say as a one-time thing, I want to switch it, so then I can just rinse it off. And furthermore, if at some point there were leanings because the kelim were expensive, kayom ein makom la'akel bazeh, just like we don't do so much hachshar kelim, right? Most people don't take their entire cutlery and make it kasher lepesach. People use special pesach kelim because they're inexpensive, they're accessible. Imagine what it took to buy a fork 2,000 years ago, right? Imagine what it took to buy a knife 2,000 years ago. It was crazy. It took work, money, expense, time. It was very, very difficult. Today, you go to Amazon, you click two buttons, and you have a new, for $30, you have a new set of cutlery coming to your house. It'll be there in 2 days. So people don't rely on Hechsher Kelim as much, even though technically you can. So therefore, he's saying along the same lines, you shouldn't rely just on rinsing off to go back and forth between one and the other. V'lachein, rak b'shat ha'dachak efshar lahakel lishamesh b'kli b'sari kar, so then I can use a clean kli besari for dairy or vice versa. It's even advisable not to use meat and dairy at the same time, even for preparing a cold par food, in order to sort of carry out the separation. But since the food is parve and the kelim are clean, if it's the best kli, it's the only kli available, or it's the only clean kli, so then I could be lenient and use it at the same time. Okay, and even for the other min, I could use it. So I think this is what people, again, Johnny, don't quote me on this, okay? Johnny, don't quote me, please. But I think what people use, let's say you're at a hotel, right, and you're eating cereal and milk.
What would you say?
I said, please don't quote me on this. So I said, if you're at a hotel, okay, thank you. So if you're at a hotel and you're eating, let's say, cereal and milk for breakfast, right, and their kelim are not kosher, right, but everything you're eating is cold. So if it's done by oven arai and you don't have anything else available, if you can get plastics, then use plastic. But if you don't have plastic available, so it's done by oven arai, done as a one-time thing, so then you can rely on this. The shach is machmir by klichares, which could be a problem if they use ceramic bowls, which they probably do. So I'm not sure if you have to be machmir for that shach or not, but definitely. But definitely to use the metal kelim there, assuming that they're clean, right? Make sure that it's 100% clean. So based on the same principle, again, don't quote me on this, but you should be able to use the kelim, even though they're not kosher, but using it for cold and it's done on a temporary basis, so then it should be okay.
Wait, isn't he saying that only if it was used cold both ways? Like, what if the spoon was used for hot?
No, I think no. He's saying it's being used for cold right now. No, what he was talking about before was to constantly go back and forth, like constantly switch back and forth between meat and dairy. Oh, that he's saying you shouldn't do that, but that would only be allowed if it was cold. I mean, it was a cold cleat. But here he's saying, but on a temporary basis, if you want to use it for cold now, if it's used for hot before, so then it's allowed. That's what he's saying. But again, it's only if it's on a temporary basis, only if you have nothing else available, it's the only one you have, so, or it's the only one that's clean and it's inconvenient to clean something else, so then it would be allowed. That's what he's saying.
So if someone wanted to convert their dairy silverware for meat, which is
yes, so it would only need Hagalah. Unless it was used mamash, like on the fire, which is people don't usually do that. Like people don't usually use their forks in such an intense way. But even that's heter bala, so it's okay. You don't need hagala.
If it was always cold, you could just swap it.
If it's always cold, yeah. If you never used it for hot, so then it never attained. Again, you may not want to do it before. For confusion purposes, but assuming there's no confusion issue, so then yeah, yes, you could do a permanent switch from one to the other. I think he didn't mention that in this footnote, but I would assume you could do a permanent switch. I wouldn't recommend it because it would probably get confusing, but if it was only used for cold, it never really absorbed one taste, so you could do a permanent switch from one to the other. Again, I'm assuming that's true, but he didn't say it. But if you wanted things that were used for hot, like your regular cutlery, which is used for hot, so then you can do Hagalah in Achanami and switch from one to the other. Now, there's an Ashkenazi custom never to switch from meat to dairy or vice versa. However, Ravadi says Sephardim don't have that custom, and you're allowed to switch from meat and dairy on a permanent basis, so if you're going permanently from meat to dairy, and vice versa. The Ashkenazim do allow it. Let's say you're making a kasha le Pesach, so then you could switch to the other min because you're kashering it anyways. Or if you want to make a parv, you can make a parv, and then if you decide to make it one or the other, you could do that. But Sfaradim, Ravad Yosef, they said they don't have that custom, and you'll be allowed to kasher from meat to dairy or vice versa. And for cutlery, so then Hagalah should be sufficient. Yeah. Okay, Chavra. Great learning with you tonight, and Bezrat Hashem, next week we will resume.
Reverend Samuel,
thank you guys for coming to learn.
Chazak
baruch to you, Shkayach. Thank you everybody for coming. Chazak baruch.
Thank you,
Reverend Samuel. What are we doing tomorrow?